you know, a lot of women feel like, you know, they just want someone to pick them. They want someone to choose them. But like, are you even picking yourself? Like, you have to pick yourself. You have to choose yourself. So just getting to know yourself on a deeper level and who you really are as a person.
You thought it, but we said it.
I'm Alexis, a certified leadership and life coach, certified postpartum doula, sourdough educator, CrossFit level one trainer, birth fit coach, a beauty counter brand advocate, and a mom to two kids.
And I'm Sam, a certified and licensed therapist and mental health first aid trainer in a 9-to-5-ish job, along with also being a beauty counter brand advocate, in addition to being a new mom and open IVF storyteller. We consider ourselves to be walking balancing acts and fellow mindset shift mavens. Perspectively Yours is our platform where we dive headfirst into conversations on topics that can make or break us. We speak to women about the things we often think but don't say out loud, and how we can shift our perspectives around them to build our resilience and normalize our experiences. This is for the woman who wants a full plate and a full cup without burning out.
We're sharing our stories and inviting others to the table to provide insight on cultivating resilience, shifting your perspective, and moving forward.
So let's spill the tea and get started.
Hello, how are you on this daylight savings time day?
I am so excited to have more sunlight. I can feel the seasonal depression leaving my body, and I don't actually have seasonal depression. It's just, I need the daylight. It really makes such a difference.
It really does. Being able to like stay outside longer in the evening makes such a huge difference for our family, because then the kids can like play after school really easily and stuff, or like we can go outside after dinner before we go to bed. I love it so much. I do have seasonal depression and I can feel it leaving, and it's the best.
Feels fantastic. Well, it's like I can also feel like the springtime and warm weather on the horizon, so it makes me even more excited.
Yeah, we have like, we're forecasted for like almost 70 degrees next weekend, which is wild for us. That is just not typical at all for March.
No, we had a 60-day degree in New Jersey like last week, week and a half ago, and it was glorious. And then it was miserable rain for the last like week.
That's how it is this time of year. It's like little peaks of, I promise this won't be forever, and then just total garbage after that.
Garbage. Absolute garbage.
Yeah. We are excited to have a guest on today. So we are going to be talking with Lauren Walsh. Lauren Walsh is a licensed therapist, a certified master life and relationship coach, and owner of Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling New Jersey. She helps women heal their dating and relationship issues and create a life they're head over heels for. Welcome, Lauren.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We are excited to have you and chat with you about all of the
Thank you.
Yeah. And such a small world, because one of our other guests who I've worked with in the past, and Laura and I have worked together in the past in a clinical setting, and Alexa said, you need to talk to Lauren. And I said, oh my goodness, that's a fantastic idea. And then I stalked her on Instagram and I was like, I love what she's doing. Lauren also love has it. A podcast. Lauren has a coaching program in addition to doing therapy. So we're going to talk about all the things, because I will be selfish here and say that I actually want to pick your brain on quite a bit. So
yeah,
very excited.
Thank you. I'm so glad you insta-stalked and found me again. It's been so many years.
This is how I get people to talk to me.
love it.
We would love to start with learning from you, kind of like just a little bit of how you got into this work in particular.
Sure. So I've been a therapist for a while. Sam knows my whole career has been with a nonprofit agency, and I worked with children and families. But as you know, I've gone through my own relationships and adult life, I developed a passion for working with adult women that have relationship issues, dating issues, helping them heal from breakups. All of that is really personal, because I went through some really, really hard times. And I just developed a passion for that. So that's why when I decided to go into private practice, almost approaching a year, that's what I wanted to focus on. I didn't really want to focus on children and families. I wanted to focus on women and helping them heal their stuff and create a life that they really, really love, because it's so important and it's so prevalent. Relationship issues are so prevalent today. I think we all probably can agree with that. It's just something that is really, it's rough out there.
It is rough out there. So rough. I like had this random dream recently about a relationship so long ago that was so painful for me. Like, and having that dream like brought it all up. And we're talking like that was 18 years ago, kind of a long time ago.
It
sticks with you for a long time. So I can see how valuable that work would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I still have dreams about a prior relationship. And actually, and we've talked about this here, is that that was actually the tipping point for me in kind of this self-growth journey, was the end of a significant relationship. That it was like, my life felt like it started back at the baseline, or creating a new baseline and a new chapter. And I feel like I'm in Sam 3.0 at this point. But it was really the catalyst that started this whole journey of personal growth. Even being a therapist prior, it's like I wasn't ready for it until that happened. And I was like,
yep,
here we go.
Yep. Yep.
So on that note, with like the self-work piece, can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of self-work in the context of having healthy and successful relationships?
Yeah. So doing work on yourself is the best thing that you can do for yourself. Like I always tell people, tell clients, tell everyone, the most important relationship you'll ever have and the longest one is the one with yourself. So we really have to come first and always be pouring into our own life, putting yourself, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anyone else. We can't show up for other people. We can't be a healthy partner to anybody. So we really do have to come first. So the self-work is just so important.
And what does that look like? What does self-work look like in your opinion?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it could be different for everybody, but really getting to know yourself, getting to love yourself, getting to enjoy time with just you. You've probably heard like date yourself. Like I'm very big on that. You should date yourself. And women too, it's just like a habit, but of course this could go for anybody. You know, a lot of women feel like, you know, they just want someone to pick them. They want someone to choose them. But like, are you even picking yourself? Like you have to pick yourself. You have to choose yourself. So just getting to know yourself on a deeper level and who you really are as a person.
And it's interesting you say that. So when I went through this massive breakup, and it was an end of an engagement 2 months before a wedding. So I don't know if
a similar experience.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that later. Go ahead.
Excellent. We may have to have a private session. I actually, and I didn't know it was dating myself at the time, but what I realized was that I had become so codependent on needing someone to be there through everything with me. I mean, granted, I was also, and I feel like this is where it becomes, you know, interesting, especially as a young female, like we are more vulnerable, right? Like my mom still yells at me, do not go to the mall by yourself, right? Like there's like, I'm still dealing with that kind of stuff, but it was hard for me to learn how to do those things by myself. And so I challenged myself to do things that were awkward and uncomfortable, like go out to dinner by myself and sit at a table, not at the bar, go to a bar by myself, like no friends, nothing. And go to the movies by myself. And so I cannot even describe the level of discomfort. I can feel my armpit sweating from that experience. It's so hard. It's so much harder than we realize. Why is that?
It is very, very hard because we're dependent, you know, on other people. We feel awkward, you know, it's sitting with the uncomfortable, like being, not having anyone to, I don't know, share the energy with. It's uncomfortable, but you don't even have to go as far. Like, I guess it's amazing that you could go to a bar and like have dinner by yourself. Like, that's incredible. But I feel like not everyone even has to do that. It could be having a night in, you know, just being alone, I think is really important. You know, not obviously not all the time, not forever, but we need to spend time with us.
How do we, knowing how humans are, and we're very relational creatures, like on a biological needs level, like relationships are so important. So how does one find the balance of like taking that time to be by yourself and also still investing in other relationships too?
Yeah, both are really, really important, of course, because we need relationships, we need support. That's a huge part of life. I think, you know, it's carving out the time and what feels good to you. I don't think there's a straight answer or a rule book. You know, you should spend time with yourself once a week and, you know, see your friends twice a week. I think it really can, you know, depend on person to person, but just, you know, carving out that time for you. And also depends on the person's comfort level. Like if it's really hard for them to do, it may not happen so much in the beginning, but you may grow to like it. And then you may find yourself wanting to carve out that time for you more and more. So it really, I feel like it varies.
I have a follow-up question to that because, and I think we're probably around the same age. I'm in my, I don't like to say late 30s now, but it's on the other end of mid.
I think I'm still in mid. I'm turning 35 in the summer.
Yeah, you're in mid. You're not actually at mid yet. You're
I'm
not
still in mid, yet. Right? Right. I'm
there yet. Yeah, I'm 37. I'm over that hump. But at the similar point in time where we find a lot of our friends in relationships having children, what is it that you see being the hardest part and how to kind of get through that when you are not at that same point in life and not because you don't want it, because maybe you haven't found it yet?
It hasn't happened. That is a huge, huge problem. Something I see constantly, but this is like probably my favorite part of the work with clients on this particular thing is building a new support system. So those friends that are married with kids, they're still your friends. They're still your friends. They're not going anywhere, but they have a different life and it is what it is. And they can't be available to you in the same way. And that's okay. It's now time to get into that next chapter and start bringing in new people into your life that are in a similar situation. It's not that they can't, you know, they have to be single, you know, it's okay if they're in a relationship, but you need people that are willing to go out, socialize, be in activities. Like activities are huge. Hobbies are huge. Like finding a community that's also connected to a hobby is life-changing. It's life-changing. And that is what I think people really need to focus on if you're struggling with the all my friends are married and having babies situation. You need a community.
And that's something that I struggled with because a lot of my friends were at that point and I think about, you know, kids in social settings and how making friends is hard. And I talk about this a lot because I'm pretty passionate about this, that making friends as an adult feels next to impossible when you don't know where to start. And so the activities piece has been huge for me, but we also had moved to a new neighborhood and we moved when I was married, right? But so I was already in a relationship, but it was still, I needed something for me. And actually that's where my beauty counter business came in because I had realized I needed something for myself, even in this new relationship that I needed. But how do you help women build that support network? What are your suggestions, your go-tos for being able to do that?
Yeah, because I hear all the time that making friends as an adult is hard. And I don't know, it is and it isn't. And you said it before, like if you don't know where to look, and that's really what it's about, because there is so much happening in the world, things to do, places to go, events. We just have to find it. I encourage people to use social media as a search engine. What do you like to do? Do they already have hobbies? If so, great. Search that, use social media and search that. Find local businesses. A lot of local businesses are very big on community. They're always doing events. They're always, you know, they want to build a family. They want to build a community. And a lot of times there's so much happening around us. We just don't know it's there. So my favorite hobby is dance. And I did it as a kid and got back into it as an adult a couple years ago, but there was a very long gap of time where I wasn't dancing. It wasn't even on my radar. And I didn't know for 6 years that there was a dance studio at the end of my block. But then I started to look for it. I'm like, no, I need something. Like, I need an outlet. And I started searching. And literally at the bottom of my block, there was a dance studio. Didn't even know it. Drive by it all the time. And now it's like my saving grace. Like, I go there all the time. Like, I have a huge, like, social circle. And so my point is it exists. And I like to help other women find that. So I'll search right there with my clients. Like, no, we're going to find stuff in your area. And we find it. There's things out there. And then, you know, like social media knows what we're looking. It picks up like what we're searching and liking and saving. And it starts to populate more things for you.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that finding good friends that we can have like good relationships with, mm-hmm. like really deep relationships with. I mean, it doesn't have to all be like really deep relationships with friendships, but it seems like what I have learned over the years growing into adulthood is that really good friendships require a certain level of vulnerability and authenticity that sometimes is a good practice for us when we're doing this self-work of like mm-hmm. when we realize, oh man, I really need to like figure out who I am, what I like, and really show up authentically. So it seems like it would be a good practice for people to have too, like in the self-work space that they're doing also.
Yeah. And I feel like when you start to put yourself into like whether it be dance or the gym or some sort of something with movement, the women that are there, they value that too. They value growth. A lot of them are on their own journey. So that's how you, it helps you meet people that, you know, are exactly what you need, who want the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I actually started going to networking events for a different reason, but and that's the thing is I don't think people always know where to look is kind of going back to it. But I think getting clear on what it is that you're missing and needing, and uh-huh. you're right that there are opportunities, but it's knowing where to find them. And I have in the Monmouth County area, there's something called Monmouth Moms. And granted, it's obviously targeted towards moms, but they really position all small businesses and activities and things that even if you're not a mom, you would absolutely benefit from. And I actually went to a networking event not that long ago, and I met my financial planner who like now I talk to more regularly and has become like a friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting how those connections happen.
I was just going to say like the beauty of a lot of these things, even networking events, you don't have to go with someone. You can go alone and it's much less scarier than sitting at a bar by yourself or sitting at a restaurant by yourself. It's a little, you know, it can be a little awkward, but it's much easier to get through. And I feel like the connections just start, you know, you start chatting and it just happens naturally.
Well, because people are there for the same reason.
Exactly.
So we're all uncomfortable. We're all in the same boat.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So when it comes to relationships, in your experience, how do personal insecurities and unresolved issues really impact the dynamic of relationships? So if you were thinking about like who you work with, what are the common threads among these individuals who are struggling in dating or relationships, whatnot? What's the common issue?
Like the common relationship stuff that's coming up for all of them. A lot of people not wanting to commit these days, a lot of communication issues, a lot of projecting past relationships on current partners and things like that. A lot of not wanting to be alone. So just kind of tolerating anybody just to have someone. It's a lot of what I'm seeing.
What's the difference between accepting that no one's going to be perfect, right? Everyone's going to have their stuff, and not settling for things that are that don't serve them in a relationship.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think it's like you have to judge like the red flag, right? Because nobody is perfect. People are going to always have things. But I think you really have to look at compatibility. Because what we're first attracted to, it tends to be all physical, right? You have nothing else to go off of. But you really have to look, like when you have someone in your life that you're dating or seeing or talking to, look at compatibility. Like, do your values align? Like, do you like how this person spends their day? Do you want the same things? Like, how does your nervous system feel? Like, you have to look at those things and then see if, you know, whatever like bad or negative quality, you know, is worth overlooking. Because it really is based on that. Because you're never going to have someone that meets every need.
No. And I think that's almost where I feel like folks get stuck mm-hmm. is, well, this part of them is not compatible with me, so it's not going to work. And I feel like that judgment, people start to second guess and not really sure, because it truly has to be what you accept and can live with. But, you know, there's often misconceptions, oh, well, we like the same things, or we both have fun at a party. But What does it really look like? Right. What is compatibility? What does compatibility really look like in your opinion?
Yeah, like your values, like what you stand for, what you want for your life, like what you believe in, those types of things. That's really what makes people compatible. It's not just having the same hobby or liking the same bars or liking the same music. It's truly like your core values and what you want in life.
And how long do you think it takes someone to really understand compatibility? Because it's interesting because, you know, when we're younger, we tend to date people longer. When we're older, it tends to be for, you know, shorter amounts of times either way, whether it's that we're going to break up or we want to get married.
That depends, though. People do stay in things for quite a while these days, even if they're not compatible. It really depends. I feel like it varies.
Why do people stay?
I think people are staying. I mean, and I can personally and just my own, you know, professional opinion, I think it is very hard to find people these days that you're attracted to, that you want to be with. So it's hard to end something because you really don't know when the next thing is going to come. And it can feel very hopeless after a breakup. Like you feel like you're just never going to meet anyone again. And then there's all that stuff coming up, right? People don't want to feel that. I think they just want to latch on and hold on and just hope that it can work, that they can make it work, that they can fix it. I think that's why people stay.
I'm curious because I'm thinking about the impact of social media and an age of information on, because I work primarily with parents and mothers. And I'm wondering, what kind of impact have you seen, if any, have you seen on people going through relationships that social media has had? You know, like all the information out there about like what good relationships look like and red flags to look for and all of that. Do you feel like you see a lot of that impacting people's relationships?
So with social media, what I think I see more of, and that's more of an issue, is that there's so much access to people from your past. And I feel like people are using it for stalking and checking up on people and checking up on other people and investigating people's histories. And I feel like that is what I see the most of. I think the content, like the relationship content that's out there, is actually helpful because I think people do really like the quotes and the, you know, the inspirational messages that pop up. Certain things can be confusing, like if you overwhelm yourself and you take in too much content. But I think in that capacity, it's actually helpful because I think it puts out, you know, even us, like we help people, right? We have businesses that help people, like people find us on social media. So I think there's a huge positive component. But yeah, the other part is what I see the most in session with my clients.
Well, and like I was thinking about the person that I had a dream about, and you better believe in the morning, I was like, I wonder what they're up to.
I think we've all done it. We've all done it. So that's where it gets crazy. And it's just sending people down rabbit holes and spiraling.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
That I see constant. And you're not even necessarily only stalking or looking up your ex. It's you're looking at their girlfriends. You're looking at the current girlfriend. You're looking at the past girlfriend. And it really sends people spiraling. And it keeps... I'm seeing that it's keeping people stuck in the past.
What's your take on online dating? And I'll preface that by saying that I met my husband online on Match.
Did you? I love these stories.
I did. I dragged him to New Jersey from Long Island. And his first message to me was, "Too bad you live in New Jersey." And I literally said back, "It's only a drive away. And guess where we live now?" And I think for me, it was an access thing because, again, especially with folks who don't necessarily step too far outside of their general vicinity of where they've grown up and where their support systems are. And, you know, and I think that there's reason to stay in those general areas. Your support system may be there. However, I feel like you run into the same, please forgive me, but like ding-dongs, and you're like, I can't meet anybody else. Like, it's really challenging to meet outside of this place. And similarly, that ends up happening online as well, because it tends to be the same folks on there for a period of time. But I felt like, especially not somebody who is going to like be at a bar quite frequently. I'm not really a big drinker, but that shouldn't be the go-to anyway. It's it was hard for me to meet male counterparts like out
in person. So,
mm-hmm. Right. Especially people that I didn't already know. And I felt like the online system was like vetting through who would be a potential better match than just randomly meeting somebody. However, what I have noticed with friends and family who are kind of still in this dating pool and online is that it has become a little bit of the next best swipe of like the next best thing of like, who else is there a potential to meet? So yeah. What has your experience been with women, with dating, or personal experience with online?
Oh God, so much to say about online dating. So much to say. So first, I love your story. And I've heard other success stories. And I think I love when people talk about them. And I think you really need to put that out there because I think it gives people hope. So the most common apps that you know my clients are on and that I hear about are Hinge and Bumble. And those I feel like are the problem ones. So what I'm finding with the people on those apps and my theory on it, I feel like a lot of people are in between relationships, maybe fresh out of something. It's the fastest way for people to get access to other single people. So I feel like as soon as you're breaking up with someone, as soon as like maybe things are getting rocky or you're on a little break, people are making a profile or they're reactivating their profile. And, you know, they're getting access to all of these people, right? And they're not really ready for a relationship in no way, shape, or form, but they want to see what's out there. So they're swiping, whatever. And then, you know, as you match with people, it is a little bit of validation. It is a little bit of an ego boost, right? You're fresh out of something and you're getting these likes. It does a little something. And that is really all that they needed in that moment. It's just that there's people out there and, oh, people find me attractive. Oh, there's a few girls today that found me attractive. And that's it. And the conversations, they're not really going anywhere. There's a lot of things that are fizzling out. People don't even answer with those two particular apps.
Are they still free? Because that's how long I've been out of this now. They're still free.
They're still free. And that is exactly where I was going.
There's no skin in the game.
Exactly. I feel any success story that I've ever heard, most of them have been matched. But it's the paid ones because there's more of a commitment. People are a little bit more invested. Like you invested, you know, it doesn't have to be a ton of money, but you paid for this app. Like you probably are going to go out on a date. You're probably going to answer people back because you really are looking for someone. It's not just, you know.
Well, and while you're on the topic of Bumble, because I liked the premise of Bumble, and for those who don't know, is that it puts women really in the driver's seat.
Uh-huh.
The woman's at least when I remember it, the woman is the one who has to outreach to the male. I don't know what it looks like for same-sex couples, but that's...
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point.
I don't know, actually, but for...
I want to research that.
Right? I'm curious. But for a woman, it's you get to be the one that's doing the outreach. However, with that being said, as much as I love to be in the driver's seat, and you tell me your thoughts on this, I still think to this day it is what scared off half of the guys. And granted, they're not the people who ended up being my person anyway. And I understand that. But as a woman who's assertive, it was exceptionally frustrating and aggravating that I couldn't be me because there still needed to be this chase of cat and mouse in order to be pursued. What are your thoughts on that?
So wait, you feel like because you are assertive, like the men on Bumble weren't really...
In any case, really, in any position, but because Bumble specifically puts women in the driver's seat, like how does that really play out? And what is their thoughts on dynamic and I'll say the cat and mouse game, you know, game of chase when it comes to a relationship?
Yeah, like on Bumble, that part is kind of removed because the woman is making the first move or the first contact.
But so long term.
Yeah, like they already know that, okay, she's interested, but there is no chase. But I don't know, though, if it's realistic to have that type of game happen on any sort of online dating interaction because you don't know them yet. You haven't seen them in real life. There's not,
when they do see them in real life, I guess is my question because it's kind of it starts the ball rolling with the woman being in control. Now they actually go on a date. And I almost feel like dating in general then pulls that power back from women, regardless, because it's almost like this false sense of being able to be assertive, mm-hmm, because now we end up in this game of chase anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I never even thought about that, probably because I don't consider myself to be assertive when it comes to dating. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better with that.
That's interesting, given your work.
Yeah. Like I feel like I definitely am not known to make the first move, but on Bumble, I'd have to. That would force me to be assertive. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Okay. So back to the having some skin in the game with Match. And that is where my success story was. Mm-hmm. Can you share? I mean, I could share mine, but I'd love to know, do you know of a couple who's had a successful relationship as a result of online dating or through working with you, or what has that looked like?
No, I absolutely do. I would say it's not the majority, but I absolutely have personally, more in my personal life. And actually I have one client that has a successful online dating story and married her husband also from Match. I feel like people are going to think this episode is sponsored by Match.
It is not sponsored. Although we would,
but it's not, but if you want to sponsor them, Match, hit them up. But yeah, so it's not the majority, but certainly personally, I know people that have met their person on dating apps, and I've had a small amount of clients met their person on dating apps, and they've always been paid apps.
What about those who have really done the work on their personal growth journey? So let's say dating app aside, what kind of success have you seen? Like, what has contributed to that success? How did they meet their partner? What did that look like?
Yeah, I think it came, you know, after they chose themselves for a while, right? Whatever it is that they had to work through, they spent time on that. They spent time getting to know themselves. They were comfortable with themselves. They created a life for themselves that they really like, that did fulfill them. Not that they didn't want anyone anymore. They didn't want a relationship, but they were making themselves happy every day and they were feeling fulfilled by their own life. And that was because they made their life a place they wanted to be. And then their person came, you know, I think because they were in a better place mentally and, you know, just in life, they were ready for that.
I'm curious. Let's talk red flags, green flags. Mm-hmm. What are, and let's play this on two sides. So one, what are the red flags that someone is not choosing themselves? What are the green flags that they are? What are the red flags in a relationship? What are the green flags?
Okay, so red flag, someone not choosing themselves. I think being, you know, hyper fixated on always having somebody, wanting someone, that validation to feel okay. Like if they're not comfortable by themselves, looking for that in another person. Yeah, just dependent on others to fill up their cup, not being able to do that fully for themselves.
I actually think back to when I was, I'll say like serial dating. But it was because I was just trying to meet someone who was a right fit, but my boundaries went right out the window. I would make dates all throughout the week. My time was a big one for me as a red flag, that I was giving away all my time to dating rather than, I mean, I gained weight, I was exhausted, and I didn't find anybody that I liked.
Yeah, yeah. But you made that your sole priority. Like you, it wasn't you, it was the dates. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. People do that a lot.
All right. So what are your red flags in a relationship, green flags in a relationship?
Red flags in a relationship. The two people are not willing to put in the work. There's one person that's working harder than the other. And that's when it's never going to work. When you have two people that want to change something, want to grow, want to be together, and they're both willing to put in the work, magic happens. It's going to work. You guys are going to be successful. But usually, I shouldn't say usually, but a lot of times there's one person out of the couple that's willing to put in the work. It's kind of spinning their wheels and not getting anywhere. So huge red flag if your partner is not willing to put in the same amount of work.
And what are your favorite green flags in a relationship that like say that it's a healthy relationship?
I think communication, not one person not being afraid to express themselves. No one's holding back their feelings or waiting for the right time or tiptoeing. Just being able to communicate and say what you want, say what you feel. that person providing that space for you, that energy for you, that you feel comfortable enough to do so.
And green flags that you're in a healthy relationship with yourself.
Ooh, I like that question. How do you feel when you're with yourself? Do you feel happy? No one's going to feel happy 24/7, 365, but overall, do you feel happy and satisfied by your life or when you're with yourself? Do you actively pour into yourself?
Yeah, and what that looks like knowing how to pour into yourself. You know, and I think our traumas, our struggles, our life experiences are what hold us back from being able to pour into ourselves sometimes. I just think about like even where we hold ourselves back from doing things or searching for things that could bring us joy. Maybe we don't know it, but if there's still such a hesitance and resistance to do that, I just wonder how and when people will decide what's going to fill their cup that's outside of a relationship.
Right. Because we don't always know. Like there are so many women that I work with that, you know, you get lost in daily life. Like you go to work, maybe you hit the gym and you go home and you sleep and you're exhausted and you just go through the same cycle. They don't even know what they like anymore. They don't even have a hobby, right? They don't even know. And that's okay. You just have to find it. You gotta be willing to put yourself out there and try new things and put yourself in new situations, but just have to find it.
Yeah. This has been a really awesome conversation. I really loved this so much.
Yeah, same.
I think that is a good place to wrap up. We just have to spend time learning about ourselves a little bit more before we can go be in a good relationship with somebody else. All right. Well, where can people find you if they want to connect with you on social media or if they want to work with you if they're in New Jersey?
Yeah, you could find me. So Instagram is definitely the best place. You could find me at Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling NJ. Also, Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling NJ.com. Therapy is for New Jersey only, but I also offer coaching and that can be anywhere. So follow me, connect with me. And thank you guys so much for having me. It was so great to be here. I loved this conversation.
Thanks so much. This was really awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just as a reminder, this podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice or mental health services. If you are in a mental health crisis, please call the Suicide and Crisis Hotline at 988 or 911.
Did today's episode of Perspectively Yours hit the spot? It would mean the world to us if you'd show us some love with these three effortless ways to help your fave podcast thrive. First up, the most important, never miss an episode by following or subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Just head over to our show page, tap the plus sign, and select follow. Next, leave us a shiny 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform. Your feedback helps us make each episode better and better. Last but not least, share your favorite episode with a friend. The power of word of mouth is undeniable, and we would be over the moon if you spread the love about Perspectively Yours.
Before we let you go, here's a fun fact. We met through Beauty Counter, our favorite clean beauty brand, and are both brand advocates. If you've been looking for safer products that actually give you results, you can get 20% off your first purchase with the code CLEANFORALL20.
Don't forget to follow us each on Instagram at Ms_SamanthaKehoe and Alexis.TheNourishedBeginnings. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to check out the show notes for any resources we mentioned.
Thank you for being here. We are grateful for your support and love.